presented by Bee Matters, with host Jacqueline Peterson and Dr. Haley Estrom.
Feeding Does Matter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Feeding Does Matter. I'm Jacqueline Peterson, CEO of Feeding Matters.
Hi, and I'm Haley Estrom. I'm an associate professor in the School of Nursing at UNC Wilmington. How are you doing today, Jacqueline?
I am doing pretty well. I always love when we've got meetings with you when you're in the location you're in right now, because we get to hear your little birdies. So people hear them. That's what we've got.
Yes, how are you doing? I'm in my circus with all my little monkeys.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Just living life.
Well, today we have a special treat for our audience. We are taking an internal look at Feeding Matters and really giving people a look inside the work that we do, and especially inside the work of the Feeding Alliance, which is kind of the powerhouse for how we meet our mission. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on our Senior Director of Community Engagement, Jen Lambert. Jen, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me today. I loved doing this.
Yeah, I was glad that you were coming on, because it's, you know, I think so many people interact with you, whether they're volunteers or committee members or community council members. And it's just great to be able to like have you on in a broader fashion and be able to like share those insights with everybody else.
Oh, thank you. I know it's been so fun. I've been listening to so many of our Feeding Alliance members be guests on the podcast.
And yeah.
I always have a little bit of FOMO, I'm not going to lie.
FOMO no more. Before we get into talking about Feeding Alliance, I think it's always helpful for people to know a little bit about you and your background, how you found Feeding Matters, and maybe how long you've been with us.
Sure.
You've been with us for quite a while.
I have celebrated my 9th year with Feeding Matters in June.
And so exciting.
I can't believe it. It's gone by so fast. But I can genuinely say I adore this organization. I have always worked in the nonprofit sector. As you all know, we're headquartered here in Arizona. So I've had jobs after attending school in Ohio, but came back to Arizona and had jobs here. And this posting came up for Feeding Matters, and I had always heard about them and had met some of the team members and, you know, just admired from afar. And then when the position came up, I was like, this just marries my passion of nutrition, education, people, just so many things came together. And I applied and I got the job, and I haven't looked back. And what I love so much is that, and I often tell people this, is that I've worn so many different hats within this organization.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's kept this work so interesting. And I don't have enough. There's so many positive things that I could say about my time here at Feeding Matters.
Yeah, well, and the work and the team and the community is better for you being a part of it.
Aww.
I know that so many people enjoy their work with you.
I adore this community. I still am thinking about our last in-person event, because
I know
it filled my cup so much. And we'll talk a little bit. I'll tease a little bit about our next in-person gathering that we have coming up next February. But I don't know. This community is so special.
It really is. Everyone is just so passionate.
Uh-huh.
And like that, we're going to be able, like, passion's what moves mountains. And that's what we're trying to do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just trying to remember the first time I met you. I remember it. I can see it in my head. I'm just trying to remember what year it was.
Jen's going to remember. That makes sense that Jen remembers.
I think it was 2018 was the first time I met you, Haley.
Okay.
I mean, in person, but I...
Yeah, in person.
I'm trying to think virtually, but I had always been like, oh, Haley, I feel this.
I mean, it was a conference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it had to be the conference where you were coming back from maternity leave, Jen.
Yes.
You had a baby with you.
Yeah.
Zoe.
And I just remember, like, Haley was so excited to see me in person and give me a hug. And it made me feel so much a part of the community and the work. So, Haley, I do remember that.
That's awesome. That was like the last conference before we just didn't see our community for several years in person.
I know. I think that's what made this last one so incredibly special. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you are on to talk and answer some questions that we've received about the Feeding Alliance, because a lot changes rapidly at Feeding Matters as we continue to try to push the field forward, advance it, and create system change. And so with that, you've been receiving a lot of questions, and we wanted to really help everybody understand kind of what it is that Feeding Matters does, what it is that the Feeding Alliance does, and how people can be involved. That's kind of what you're hearing in the community, right? Just like lots of questions around.
Definitely lots of questions. And I will say even questions from people that are really involved in it too, because it, like you said, it's rapidly changing. And so when things pop up, you know, I love it that our community's on it and they're asking questions and they're curious. So I thought this is a great way to talk through some of that today and then really share what the Alliance does and then give you all some ways to, if you aren't involved, to become involved, or if you have questions, to reach out to me.
Perfect. And that's true. We kind of get so like narrowed in terms of like the work that we forget to communicate what's happening, how it's happening, how things have changed, and what that looks like. So that's what this is all about as well. So maybe before we get into Feeding Alliance, we were talking earlier and we thought it might be helpful to kind of give an overview of what Feeding Matters does in general. So Feeding Matters is a national nonprofit organization with international reach. As Jen mentioned, we're headquartered in Arizona. And the work that we do, our mission is to advance the field of pediatric feeding disorder to accelerate identification, ignite research, and foster collaborative care. And that really looks like a lot of the work that you see under the Feeding Alliance, but a lot of the other work that we do within Feeding Matters too. And so we've had a long journey of how to support PFD by also encouraging and helping work through some of the ARFID stuff and working through some of the feeding development stuff, some of our latest system change initiatives that you've been seeing. But the way that we talk about what we do kind of centers around five different areas. So we've got patient and family support, and that is our Power of Two coaching program. That's a lot of our family financial assistance or some of our resources on our websites, our It's Not Picky Eating website with our resources and provider directory, our support groups. We also have an empowerment cohort that we've talked about. So that's our patient and family support area. Then at Feeding Matters, we have our continuing education area, and that's continuing education for healthcare professionals, but we also include and encourage family members, caregivers, individuals themselves to attend those. And that looks like a learning center and webinars online. That also is our conference, our international PFD conference, switching to International Feeding Development Conference, as well as our Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit, which is coming up pretty soon here. So that's the continuing education area. Then we've got system change initiatives. And so the system change initiatives are really, you know, Feeding Matters is a system change organization. We do a lot to support families, to help educate professionals and families. But we know that we can't support families if the system that they're coming up against continues to either not recognize this as an issue or to not believe them or to not support them. And so the system change initiatives are to fix the system at large. And that takes a lot of work. It takes finding the biggest levers to pull. That's where you see a lot of our consensus efforts. And so we do a lot with our system change initiatives. That's how PFD came about as a diagnosis. That's how we've started looking into the educational gaps. Right now, the active system change initiatives that we have going on are our Center for Feeding Ethics, as well as Beyond the Growth Chart, which looks at feeding development as its own domain in early childhood for all children, so we can catch our children a little bit easier and quicker. And so those are our system change initiatives. And then kind of that's like what we work on internally. And of course, there's people that help with that and that are part of the Feeding Alliance. But externally, we do a lot to try to raise awareness. And then the powerhouse behind all of that and the engine behind our mission is our community building efforts. And that is what you see in our Feeding Alliance, as well as our community councils, and the two are closely interrelated. And so thought I'd give that overview so then we could jump into learning more about the Feeding Alliance, because the Feeding Alliance interacts with patient and family support and system change initiatives and continuing education and even awareness as well. But they're still their own kind of body as well. So Jen, maybe start with like an overview of what the Feeding Alliance is, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So our Feeding Alliance is our free membership-based offering through Feeding Matters. And this is really for anyone connected to feeding disorders and differences. So families, clinicians, community members, insurance providers. I mean, the list goes on and on. The Feeding Alliance is for everyone. And I think that's a common misconception. I think people often think the Feeding Alliance is just for clinicians, and it's much more than that. It also centers around our four pillars, and those four pillars are education, advocacy, research, and family support. And so a lot of the goals, so we created two-year goals. We have goals that fit within each one of those pillars, but we often say that those pillars don't work in silos, right? There's a lot of overlap, and you'll even see the work that the different committees and task force are doing fit within multiple of those pillars. The Feeding Alliance also, I mean, the value of being a part of something like this is that you can really be a part of that change, and you have a network of people that you are connected to. And so many people have found value in being a part of this, not only because they get some exclusive perks like being invited to different learning lounges or being a part of the symposium, but being connected to the people. And that's been a huge value of being a part of the Feeding Alliance. I do want to mention that recently we have changed the name. So you may have heard it being referenced as PFD Alliance about a year ago. We have shifted to calling it the Feeding Alliance so that it's really inclusive of anyone that has a connection to feeding disorders and differences. And so that's been huge. And I think there's been questions around that too. Is it the same thing? Is it something different? No, it is the same thing. We've just shifted it to have more of that, to open it up and make sure people feel like they can be a part of this group.
Yeah. Yeah. Be included. And that's kind of what I think the Feeding Alliance does so well, is it's a community, and that community happens digitally. It happens in those one-on-one connections. People have like built their networks by being a part of the Feeding Alliance. And we just had Rocky on, and that's kind of how she described her interaction with Feeding Alliance.
She did. And I loved how she talked about how she started in
Just kind of like kept learning. Yep. And kept getting deeper and deeper.
So many people's story, right? And I love to see that. I think what is also different with, you know, when we're looking at the difference between Feeding Matters and the Feeding Alliance, is that this, going back to your point, this feels like the community arm, that piece that can really help drive that work. So execute off the mission. So a lot of the things that you were talking about with continuing education and system change, we're doing a lot at the national level, but then a lot of these task force and committees that have been under the Feeding Alliance have been able to take this work and run with it in a different way. So people often think, oh, the Feeding Matters team is so large. We are an internal team of eight, but we have such a large community in this Feeding Alliance that's been able to help us get to where we are today.
Yep. So true. It's the only reason people think that we're bigger than we are. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the two interplay a lot, because it's like we receive feedback from our community, from Feeding Alliance, and then we're able to integrate that. And then they're able to take some things and execute them. And they also help with dissemination. And it's iterative in how efforts in the internal staff work, and then how support and feedback and commitment work from the Feeding Alliance team as well. And I'm just going to pull in a little bit of history here, since it's our 20th anniversary, because I think it goes to show like how we started to pivot this to be more in the hands of the community. So we started at Feeding Matters knowing that we needed to hear from the experts within the medical and healthcare professional fields. And so we originally started with something that we now fondly refer to as the Founding Medical Professional Council. And so we had meetings with our medical professional council. They are huge reasons as to why Feeding Matters is the way we are today, because they gave us such important strategic and medical information and support and advice. And then, you know, it was really important that it wasn't just this like static group, that this, the decisions of where this organization goes and how we change the field needs to belong with the community. And so I think it was at that conference that Haley met you at, Jen, where we made a little bit of the transition from like, what is the MPC into, let's get this in the hands of the community and let's make sure they have a say and can participate in where this goes. Right. And so then that's when we shifted it to the PFD Alliance, which is now the Feeding Alliance. And so it operates like its own organization, but so closely related to so many of the things that we do inside of Feeding Matters that they're like this ongoing feedback loop between Feeding Matters and our community-based Feeding Alliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has been so great, is that continuous feedback loop. I you're exactly right. I think often people think, okay, at symposium once a year after conference, that's when we're receiving that feedback and determining how does that fit into our goals with the Feeding Alliance. But it is continuous.
Yeah, because like that's the biggest way that we hear from our community is the symposium and town halls and some of those things. But yeah, it's that iterative process for us. And that's like, that's why we think of ourselves as an innovative organization.
Yeah.
So let's talk like the specifics of the Feeding Alliance. You mentioned the four pillars. I thought it might be helpful for people to understand kind of like the structure. So maybe like the levels of engagement.
Sure.
Let's maybe start with that. And then we'll get into like each pillar and kind of the project and activities and committees under those pillars.
Yeah, that sounds great. So I think at if you were to go on the Feeding Matters website right now and go under Get Involved to Feeding Alliance and join, you would become a member at large. And so a member at large, again, it's completely free to join. It is the way to enter into the Alliance and start receiving the Feeding Alliance newsletters, to start receiving the invitations to things like our learning lounges, which are those virtual events that happen throughout the year that are created to continue to build that curiosity, to have an open forum, to have a discussion around a focused area with a facilitator. And so you would get exclusive invitations to that, to our symposium that happens yearly, where we have a community driven change question that goes out to the Alliance for them to think on and to complete. And then that helps drive the conversation during symposium, where we're talking about, you know, what do we want to hear from the community? What changes need to be made? And that helps form not only some of our strategic planning with our Feeding Alliance, but it also helps drive what the different pillars are doing throughout the year. And so we have that, and then some other learning opportunities within our learning lounge, which Feeding Alliance members would get access to. And so there's some of that at that basic membership level. But if someone were to say, I would like to become more involved, which a lot of our community does, then there's opportunities for people to become involved in committees or in task force that really help drive the work that Jacqueline had touched on before. So for instance, our conference, we have a committee that helps shape the educational programming around that, as well as our Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change. And so yearly, we have a call for leadership that goes out, and people can apply that way to become involved as a member of one of those committees or task force, or to become involved as a chair or a co-chair. If you've, you know, similar to what Rocky had talked about, if you're at this point of, I was a member, I then served on a committee, and I'm ready for something a little bit different, you could explore becoming a pillar chair. So I know we'll get into our different pillars in a minute, but there is the opportunity to lead those pillars for a couple of years. And so that's something that people that have been with us for a bit like to explore. Now, those are kind of like the three levels with the Feeding Alliance, but I think with the incorporation of our community councils and the start of that over the last few years, that's also been another great way to get involved with the Alliance. So people have come to us and said, is there already a created community council in my state or region that I can become involved with, or can I start one on my own? And that's a really nice access point as well to start seeing what your state or region is currently doing, or if there's an opportunity or gap there to create something and help drive that work at a local state level.
Yeah, because it's almost like, where do you want to spend your capacity if you are open to doing more than just receiving communication and kind of participating in open surveys and the passive participation? And if you want to get involved, you've got your pathways of like leadership within the Alliance and those committees that are executing things, kind of supporting internally. And then you've got that like get local, really grassroots, make sure that like the community in your area is involved.
Right.
And you do a lot to try to make sure communication is happening between everything because it's so interrelated. Like what you're like, I know a lot of the community councils are doing needs assessments and like you're kind of trying to like connect those dots into like, how does that connect to some of the system change stuff that's happening within like the different pillars and how does it affect their goals? So you do a lot of like connecting the dots as well. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, I do. And I think that's come from people going back to what I said in the beginning, people's natural curiosity for what we're doing with Feeding Matters. And, you know, try not to give them too much information, but the information that they need or leveraging these different groups that in a way that it makes sense. Because, for instance, we have this wonderful group of community councils, and then we have our physician outreach task force that's working on the dissemination of this survey. And what a nice way to bring together the two groups and help them lean on one another is that, let's see, are there physicians in these different community councils or within the networks that can help with this process? So yes, it's been a lot of connecting those dots. And I would say it's a work in progress because there's a lot of dots, right? And so figuring out what makes the most sense.
That kind of leads to our teaser for the next in person is how we can connect dots in person too.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. And I love the examples because I think that's what helps people kind of understand how those connections look.
Yeah.
We're not a traditional organization. So we do like to think about things differently.
We're not. And then to your point before, just to give people an idea, we have over 2,500 members in the Feeding Alliance. And we know not every person is going to say, I want to serve on the conference committee. And so we love our members at large. They do serve a really important role. And even those people that have said, I just want to be at that level of joining the Alliance, they have still worked in so many ways to share our information via social media or email, or when they're talking to somebody, or even doing one-off presentations where they incorporate Feeding Matters into what they're presenting. And so I do want to acknowledge that we do have so many members at large, and we appreciate you all so much.
Yep, for sure. So as we go through the different pillars, let's maybe start with the family support pillar, which is led and supported by the Family Advisory Council. So maybe share a little bit about the pillar's goals and the FAC.
Yeah. So Yomi, who leads this pillar, has just been fantastic in this role. And it's been the first time we've created two-year goals for the Feeding Alliance. And we did that right after our last in-person conference. And when her and I were talking, she really wanted to make it a point to say, we want family support to be infused into all of these pillars. We don't want people to just think that this is a standalone. So her goals really center around making sure, you know, how we had said, like, they're not working in silos and that we need more families involved in the Feeding Alliance. That's really what her goals have been centered around, is making sure that whenever we're talking about education, advocacy, research, families are involved in whatever that process is. That lived experience is so important. Okay. And she's really held the torch for that and has been wonderful. She also leads the Family Advisory Council, and these are a group of families that serve about a 2-year term, and they are wonderful because they get together quarterly and they are a sounding board for our programs, our initiatives. They work very closely with Heidi Vandermolen. They've really helped bring these family, a lot of these new family support programs to fruition. Yeah, and that's a powerhouse group right there.
And Heidi Vandermolen does the Power of Two program, right?
Yes.
When you say that she, yeah.
So she oversees our patient and family support efforts. So all of the programs that fall under that. Okay. And Power of Two being definitely one of them. And then, you know, also I know that they've talked about, like, how do we make sure family stories are being shared more? So I know that that's a current conversation that the FAC is going for. Yes. And that kind of shows you the interaction between family support and within that family support pillar, the Family Advisory Council, and how then they connect and amplify and support the programs under Feeding Matters as well.
Right, right. And what's been great is that I think through a lot of these discussions, typically when we had our FAC or our family support, we thought about it being the parent or the caregiver that's involved. I think we've been able to expand that over the last few years, and we've had grandparents involved, or we've had individuals with their own lived experience be involved in this. And it's just, it's nice to see that growth happening too.
Yes. No, I love that. Let's transition to the education pillar. That's probably our most, I think, active pillar, because there's so many people involved in helping us in that regard. Tell me more about the education
pillar. Rocky is our, Dr. Rocky Garcia is our chair of the education pillar. And yes, it is definitely our most active pillar. So we have our International Feeding Development Conference that sits under that, our Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change, and also our Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit and Learning Center. So there's a lot of continuing education that sits under that pillar. And the goals that, you know, Rocky really thought about is, because there's a lot that we could do with in education. So it was paring some of that down, but it was around taking a look at what we already have created and how do we leverage some of that. So one of the first things they did was an audit of our learning center to make sure we're offering, you know, evidence-based material for people to be able to access and access easily. And that means, again, with like bringing Yomi into it, that we have education and we have webinars offered for families as well. And so she brought together a group, and this was kind of outside of a committee. So this is an example of, if you're involved in the Feeding Alliance, we were able to send out some communication that said, hey, who would be interested in partaking in this special project? And I would say within 10 minutes, we had 15 people respond. And that's what's so cool about this alliance.
Yes.
And these were people, again, like more like those members at large that said, yes, I'd like to, I'm interested in this. And so she's worked on that. Right now, she's putting together a PFD and RFID slide deck that could be utilized during our International Feeding Development Conference, something that could be shown ahead of time so that people don't feel like they always need to incorporate what is PFD, what is RFID, that there's just kind of this foundational knowledge slide deck that could be utilized there and then utilized by other Feeding Alliance members.
Yeah, and then their presentations, because she was telling us about that. That like that came directly from symposium, from people's feedback into that's great.
Yes. And then there's the committees. So like I had mentioned all those different committees. that are already working on next year's conference, this year's Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit. So there's a lot happening with continuing ed, but it's much needed. And we heard that, right? We've been hearing that from our community.
Yep. Yep. And they are also exploring what are the other educational initiatives that need to happen
right.
to really educational advancement.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. there's a lot out there. So we're listening to all of you and Rocky and those working within the education pillar are doing a lot.
Mm-hmm. So then our advocacy pillar is small but mighty. Maybe share a little bit about our advocacy pillar.
Yeah. So our advocacy pillar led by Dr. Nikhila Rell she's doing a lot and kind of she's really listening to what the Feeding Alliance is saying, too, in terms of where do we focus our efforts? Because, again, this is a really broad pillar and there's a lot of work that needs to be done. But we've been focusing our efforts with our PFD and RFID Awareness Month that happens in May and continuing those efforts with awareness and really sharing about what these issues are, what are the resources that Feeding Matters offers, how can you get yourself educated, those types of things. And then she's also been working within the schools and looking at what is needed in terms of children that have feeding disorders and differences that are attending schools. And so her and some other members created a back to school toolkit last year that is a PFT and RFID school toolkit, excuse me, that has been so well received. It really gives the basics around laws, around what families need to know and for their child. And from there, it's then sparked a lot of interest around, okay, how do we continue to grow this toolkit and maybe even create some different ones for earlier education or something that's more for administration? And so there's been a lot of talk around that. And then she's also been a big part of the conversations around Beyond the Growth Chart and partnering with our medical directors. And so some exciting things coming out of the advocacy pillar.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's kind of like we had to grow each pillar within the Alliance as we could take it. So there was like, the education pillar was kind of what we grew first. And then the research pillar, we grew after that. And I think right now it's like, okay, let's grow this advocacy pillar. And under her leadership, she's done a great job of saying, hey, we need more advocates in schools. Like, let's figure out what is needed at that level. And it started with resources and now they're exploring other things. And I will say also, whenever there's like something that comes up where we need to write a letter or advocate for something, I actually just got one this morning, it gets sent to Dr. Rowell and then she gets to determine, okay, do I need to bring this to the, to physician leadership? Do I need to bring it to the executive council of the Alliance? Do I need to bring it to the full membership? What does that look like? And then we determine, like, do we need to support something or anything like that as well? So that's kind of the limit of where we've been able to do some of our advocacy efforts. I know she's got big dreams. We have big dreams. It just is going to take a little bit more of us. So I know we're focused on that as well.
And I think as we're talking, Jacqueline, I'm thinking about how she serves a couple of roles because she serves as our pillar chair, but she is also involved in the Texas Community Council.
Yes. So
she's been thinking about from an advocacy, framing of, are there things that I can try or pilot in my own state and then push out nationally, which has been a really cool way to think about it.
Agreed. So let's talk about our last pillar, which is research. And I know Haley, as our first research pillar chair, can also contribute a little bit of this evolution and where they're at now. But Jen, how about you give us an overview?
So our research pillar is led by Meg Simeone. And a lot of their, the goals for the research pillar have been around aligning efforts because we have a lot of different groups that have research focus. So we have our consortium, we have our research task force initiatives, and then we have the pillar itself. And so Meg was really creating some goals around alignment between all of these different groups and then really looking at, because I think there's always a lot of requests in terms of what type of research we're doing. Is there anything I can pilot or that I'm doing at my own institution or in my organization? And so it's looking at really what levers to pull in. So she's been doing a really nice job at kind of like broadly looking at everything that's being done and where we really focus our time and effort. And there's been some great conversations. I know, Jacqueline, you've been more involved in some of those pieces with the Research Initiatives Task Force, but a lot of great conversations that have come out of that. I think a lot of that has led into then the discussions with feeding ethics and then maybe future research roundtables that we do. And so I think you may have a little more to share within that piece of it, but I think it was a great timing for all of us to say, okay, yes, there's so much going on and so much need in this area. So where do we spend our time and what is going to be the most effective at this point?
Yeah. And Meg does a great job of really identifying kind of perspectives outside looking in and where we need to fine tune more communication about how to get involved. And I know it sits on her brain a lot, and we'll have her on to talk about this in more detail, like we did with Rocky, but of like, how can people get involved? Because I do think that the research pillar, and you can confirm this, but isn't it the most people that are in, like, that have selected that as their like pillar of interest type of thing?
Yes.
Because people know that they want to be involved in research, and everybody comes at this from a different perspective and setting and background. And so I know she's really thinking about what does that look like to involve the community a lot more in research. And I also know that it's challenging to know because people will see like different things coming out of Feeding Matters. Like we had our person and family centered feeding research consortium, and that came out of the Research Initiatives Task Force, which that task force really looks to say, okay, like where are the gaps in the system and what are the different research projects that we need or research communities that we need to build to fill those gaps? And so one of the biggest ones was we need lived experience at the table in an intentional and formal way. And that's something that Haley, like you did such a great job of really like championing and holding a torch for. And so that's what led to the creation of the Person and Family Centered Feeding Research Consortium, which now sits under the Feeding Alliance research pillar. And so anybody who is doing research, who wants to do research in partnership with lived experience, you know, that's open for you to ask the consortium. They are their own body. They get to decide whether they want to participate in a research project that's asked of them or not. We do like to encourage people, talk to the consortium as you're thinking about your research project. That's the whole point of making sure lived experience is at the table right away. So reaching out to them.
There is a contact link for them on the website. They have their webpage and there is a form to fill out early in your process of wanting to partner with them. So yep. Look for that.
Yeah, definitely look for that. Because there's research projects that exist under the research pillar, but there are research projects that exist under the consortium, which sits under the research pillar. And so there's just many different ways to get involved. And if you're a family or a person with lived experience, you know, think about joining the consortium too, if you're interested in that research, and being a part of it in that way. That's the research consortium. Another piece that came out of the Research Initiatives Task Force that you mentioned, Jen, was that Center for Feeding Ethics. So Center for Feeding Ethics is now a system change initiative of Feeding Matters to really look at, what are the ethical things that we need to think about in this field? And part of that is looking at historical information and acknowledging harm that's happened historically, as well as thinking about what do we need to think about to approach treatment from a values-centered place? And are there clinical practice guidelines that we need to do that? And what are the ethical questions that the center needs to tackle in the future as it grows? And that did come out of the task force as well, of really looking at. And honestly, it came out of the consortium informing us. And that's why it's so important to have lived experience right at the beginning of the brainstorm.
Throughout, Jacqueline, when you and Haley are talking, is that so much, you know, even though we may have these goals, again, going back to that like continuous feedback loop of like hearing from the community, you know, making changes, pivoting because of what we're hearing and what those gaps may be and the needs are.
Yeah. And it really is. I think, you know, people share their feedback and they hope that somebody does something about their feedback. And I, you know, we do, you know, sometimes it takes longer times than others, but we're trying to integrate many voices to be able to, like, that's what it takes to do collaborative care, is it's not just one person's voice leading this. And that's what I love about the Feeding Alliance, is most of the activities that you see coming from Feeding Matters are built from a community. And so that's taking many different voices and integrating them to be able to push something forward. It's not me driving the bus because I'm CEO of Feeding Matters. It's not you driving the bus because you lead all of our community engagement efforts. And so that's what, if you do want to get involved in the Feeding Alliance, we do really encourage that, because your voice is heard and valued and you can do something about it. So that's the research pillar, the Research Initiatives Task Force, the Person and Family-Centered Feeding Research Consortium, and more to come with that pillar as we really try to think about how we're kind of aligning all of those things. That's a lot of what Meg's doing right now, as well as thinking about how the at-large membership can get more involved with research. But that also leads to what we wanted to talk about as well before we leave today, which, Jen, maybe share a little bit about our next in-person gathering and how we can connect some of these dots between these silos and help with communication and ideas for the field advancement.
I love that. I might use some of this with the symposium, with the connecting of the dots. So we are really excited to announce that next February, so February 5th through February 7th of 2027, we will be hosting the Feeding Alliance Meeting Symposium at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And this is to invite our Feeding Alliance to come together to have 2 days worth of time as a group to talk through these conversations we highlighted a bit today: ethics, systems change, our community as a whole, what is currently being done? Are there things that are being done within the different committees, task force, pillars that we want to expand on and really hear from more of the alliance? And it's just a wonderful time to come together to help move the work forward, to participate in the systems change, to be a part of this difference. We don't have many opportunities to be able to be in person. And so this is something that is very exciting. We're still working on fleshing out what the 2 days look like and who's facilitating some of the conversations, but I can guarantee it's going to be an event that you won't want to miss and you'll want to be a part of. And so we're launching registration probably early September. So look out for that to get more information. But if you have any questions, you can feel free to reach out to me.
Yes. And please do. This event is new for us and we like to try new things and we'll always get feedback about it. But we are being hosted by the Georgia Community Council for this first, hopefully, like, ongoing a type of a Feeding Alliance meeting and symposium. And the meeting itself, the goals behind it are really to get some tangible outcomes. And so we know that what people loved about coming together in person was the connections that they made and the ideas that came from that. And one thing that I think Feeding Matters is really good about is being able to support and coordinate moving from ideas to impact to action. And so I think that is the reason that you should come. So if you are out there and you are passionate about this issue, which we know so many of our community members are, is this is a time to be able to sit at a table and actually have some real outcomes that happen from it. We talk a lot about what needs to happen in the field, but the only way we're able to make an impact is by everybody coming together and figuring out what we need to do. I almost kind of think of it as like this, like, major, major think tank of things that we need to do to move this field forward. And we're really good at facilitating consensus. We're really good at making sure things get done. And that's hopefully the strength that we bring. And you all bring a strength of your lived experience as clinicians, as persons with feeding disorders and differences, and as families, caregivers, and parents. And so we are excited to try this with all of you. And, you know, the Executive Council and the leadership of Feeding Alliance is putting together a stellar meeting and symposium where ideas happen, but also outcomes and tangible impact happens. And so please, please be thinking about joining us. All right, Jen, anything anything that we missed?
I think just a takeaway is going back to what you just said about being passionate about this. Like, you are passionate about this work. You belong in the Feeding Alliance. You know, no matter what your credentials are, what you do each day, you know, if you're passionate, you belong. So I would love to see more of you be a part of the Alliance. I appreciate all of you that are a part of the Alliance and all the work that you are doing. And thank you, Jacqueline and Haley, for the opportunity to come on today and speak about this.
For sure. We loved having you. And huge shout out to the leadership of the Alliance and all of you who participate at any level of it. So thank you so much. Excited to see you in person in February. Yeah. And everybody have a great day. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.